Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I am so excited to be here with you for season 8 of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. So a few months ago, I posted on Threads wondering if anyone would be interested in coming on the podcast as a guest. I could not believe the response I got. Hundreds of people reached out saying they wanted to tell their story on the podcast. Well, I can't interview hundreds of people for season 8, but what I can do is ask people to fill out a form and then fill out a Calendly and then schedule those conversations. And so without further ado, here is an episode recorded with one of my new friends on Threads. I hope you enjoy.
Billy Manton, she, her, is a Seattle-based stand-up comic hailing all the way from Brooklyn, New York. She is co-producer of The Nest, Seattle's longest-running queer comedy open mic, and can often be caught performing at venues across her new home of the PNW. Billy brings a signature brassy East Coast energy to the upper left, with material ranging from life as a trans woman with anxiety to penises and tiny clown hats. You can find her on most social media at Billy M Comedy, and that's Billy with an IE. Billy, welcome.
Hey there, how's it going, Dubs?
Good. How are you? How long have you been in the Pacific Northwest?
I am coming up on 5 years now, which is like still crazy for me to think about. I moved out here just kind of at the tail end of like the peak pandemic times in 2021. And I've lived out here with my partner for about, just shy. It will be 5 years in September. So
Amazing. And you were in Brooklyn. Where in Brooklyn?
So I was in like the Flatbush area, kind of like by the Prospect Park Q stop. Right over on Lincoln. I lived there for about 7 years from when I like first left college all the way through like, through 2020 and then left about August of 2021.
Wow.
So it's definitely, and then I'm originally from Long Island. So like I had lived within 45 minutes of New York City up until I moved out here to Seattle.
Yeah. Do you come back ever?
I have not been back yet, but I am hoping to come back later this year for some shows.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's great. I love the Pacific Northwest. I'm curious, like what, was there some like an inciting moment that you were like, I want to move across the country, or was it just like, yeah, it's time for change, or curious about that?
So like a big part of it is that I'd always had people who are from the West Coast be like, oh, you have so much more of a West Coast personality. Like, and it was, I think once I got out here, I visited the first time in 2017, like I just immediately fell in love with Seattle and like Washington in general. It's such a beautiful state. There's so much like beautiful nature out here. And it was, living through 2020 in a small apartment that I shared with two other people, took a bit of the shine off of living in New York, and it just kind of felt like this good opportunity to kind of like make my way out and get ready for some big changes. I had already had the move plan, but it kind of like very much coincided with like the start of me starting to examine my own gender. So it just kind of worked out that Seattle was the place I could kind of find myself there.
That's beautiful. And that's like a perfect segue into the next, little portion of the interview, which is, we all have multiple coming out stories, multiple coming into self stories. And I would love to hear one of those that you'd like to share.
Yeah. So I think definitely it's my kind of journey to where I ended, where I currently am with gender as a trans woman. It kind of took this long path of like, I had my initial, kind of something's going on moment. I had explored gender a lot in my early 20s and then had a period of like 6 years where I just kind of put it out of mind. And then in 2021, I remember I was working as a canvasser. I was walking right next to Herald Square, and I just had this feeling of examining myself and being like, I just don't know who I am. Like, I feel like I've just kind of been moving on autopilot for this long time. And that was kind of this moment where I'm like, well, what if it's something else? What if it, like, I had the thought initially of just like, maybe I'm a woman. Because that had just been kind of mulling around in the back of my head. And then, like, I initially stuffed that down. And then there was a 3-year kind of exploratory path. And then the coming out that I wanted to think about was not necessarily my first coming out to an individual. It was the first time I said to strangers that I was a trans woman. And that was specifically at the stand-up comedy mic that I run now in Seattle, the Comedy Nest. It is this really awesome space for queer performers, women comedians, black comedians, all people of color, disabled comedians, very much a anybody but straight cis white guys kind of environment. And it was the first time, like, I kind of, because I was exploring kind of like talking out a lot of these aspects of my gender through humor and through jokes. And the longer I kind of allowed myself to talk and examine myself, the better my comedy started getting, because it started getting a lot more personal. And a few months into comedy, I finally had that point of like, this is who I am. I am a trans woman, and I have an incredibly supportive partner. And then I started being able to kind of joke about myself and joke about all of the silly little parts of transitioning. Like, I was thinking the other day of just like, if you were able to get past the anxiety of being, a teenager going through puberty, there'd probably be some really great jokes to tell there. But yeah, and I just kind of use that as my first space to like s introduce myself, not just to people who've known me for a long time, but introduce myself to new people, people who are learning about me for the first time as a woman.
That's spectacular. I love that this community that you built for yourself, sorry, that you built for the com this comedy community that you built ended up being a community that you built for yourself to feel comfortable coming into yourself. That's amazing.
Yeah, and like a lot of that as well just comes from the fact that that space was a very like pretty much any trans comic who I knew was there. Like, I still think the week before I started doing comedy, I saw the amazing comedian Ren Q Daw, who actually just did the first all 50 states trans comedian comedy tour, the Here to Pee tour. He was like the last comedian I saw where I'm just like, okay, I gotta get up, I gotta do this. Like, there's something so beautiful about getting to watch somebody like very gleefully talk about those experiences in their life. And I just wanted to try it for myself. And I met so many other amazing trans comedians who've been able to show so many wonderful, happy perspectives and just the funny nature of what it's like to transition.
I'm pretty sure I saw Ren in New York. My friend and co-producer Bobby produces a show called Queendom. And I'm pretty sure I saw them perform, but I don't know. Anyways, I definitely have seen that the tour in all 50 states, which is really cool and brave and scary and awesome. And 'cause it's kind of rough out there for trans
Oh yeah,
people.
no, like, it's just the fact that Ren was able to accomplish it at all is still just like so huge to me. And I am very I'm very glad for him that he got to end the tour in Hawaii.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that. That's amazing. So when you okay, so you came out to strangers, and then how'd the room react? And was it how did that how was their reaction what you were hoping? How did it feel to have finally said it out loud to people?
Well, it was this really nice feeling, because like, first off, the Comedy Nest is like the most supportive comedy room you can have, like, to a fault. Like, you can't make self-deprecating jokes there. People will just be like, oh, don't say that about yourself. It was really nice, because like, I remember I was talking about the fact that it was my first, it was a set during Pride, and it was talking about kind of like being able to experience Pride for the first year as trans, and just kind of like how that had been different from my experience up until then of like, just I'd been out as bi since I was 13, but like being able to go as what felt like a completely different person was just something I was so excited about. And I definitely remember getting like the little hoot and holler when I first said it, which was very, very nice, and very, very nice to hear. And I've been able to just talk about so many of the little things from like, I've been I have jokes in my set about like I one of my favorite ones is about a good friend of mine who I found out was getting bottom surgery, and I didn't know what to say, so I just said, "Oh hell yeah, big ups on the pussy." Like and like things like that, and it's just like finding humor in kind of like the little mundanity, or like just like the little ridiculous things, like the things you don't think about as much. I don't know how crass I can get on here. I will say that a
Crass
lot of
as
my
you are.
comedies, like I have a newer joke that I've been working on that's just all about genital atrophy, and how my partner had told me one day, like, "Oh, I used to have this problem sometimes. It would just be uncomfortable, but now everything's just so snug." Like, and it's just been like fun to get to talk about that kind of stuff, because especially before I came out or before I had trans friends, like these weren't things I knew about at all. And like, I think they're things that a lot of people, unless they have trans people in their life, they don't know about. And I've had, I do plenty of like queer shows and queer centric shows, but I also do club shows. I open for touring comedians and stuff. And I've had plenty of people come up to me and just be like, tell me that they learned something, or like, they kind of understand the experience a little more, which that's huge for me, that like, I might be able to give somebody that. I was at a show 2 weeks ago, for example, where there was this little old woman who would come up to me, and she's like, "I'm here with my daughter who came out in her 50s, and like this is like one of her first times getting to see a trans comedian joke about the things that she's experienced, and like she's able to resonate with that." And anytime I have those kind of experiences, I do comedy because I love it, but that's just such a amazing feeling to have, and give somebody that ability to see themselves represented in comedy.
Yeah, it's I'm like tearing up a little bit. It's such an amazing feeling and such an for me at least, it's like an honor and a privilege to get to be a visible trans person for other people to be like, I had no idea, or you've taught me. Like I'm a for a long time I've been educating and teaching and facilitating around gender identity and queerness. And so I would, I've been in rooms, through the years with hundreds of people, and it's just spectacular to get to be the person who like shifts somebody's mindset or is the, you're the first person who I ever met who XYZ. It's like it's really special, and I know that not all queer and trans people kind of like want that responsibility of kind of holding that space, but there are some of us who do like it. And so it's nice to meet a fellow pal in that way.
Well, it's like it's not only that, 'cause like, I do love that experience so much, but at the end of March, I got to produce one of my, well, I got to produce my first sold out show, which was an all trans comedy lineup here in Seattle called
Nice.
Clocked. And there was this really wonderful feeling, because it took us a long time to find a venue, because we had a couple of different venues basically tell us that nobody would want to come see it. And specific, like even in Seattle, like that's one of the things you got to understand, is like even in Seattle, they're a lot of comedy and performance and all that kind of stuff, it just comes down to business and people make their decisions. But there was a really great feeling of the person who was kind of rude to us when they rejected us. We ended up selling out a venue twice the size of that venue. So we were looking to do a 75 seater. We ended up getting a bigger venue. We had a sold out show of about 150 to 160 folks.
Hell
And a
yeah.
lot of, yeah, and a lot of them said the same thing, which is just like, I enjoy stand-up comedy, but I know so much of it is just so gross and toxic. But getting to see like a show of just like getting to see a show of just trans comics talking about that, it's just so many people felt seen in a way they hadn't really before. And it was such a wonderful experience to get to bring that to folks.
Yeah, that's amazing. Did you like go back to that other venue and say, big mistake, huge?
It's the kind of thing where I'm like, I wanted to be petty so bad, but I'm like, I'm gonna take the high road. I'm gonna vague post it about it on social media, but I'm not gonna directly rub it in their face.
Ah, so mature. That's great. So you mentioned very quickly that you came out as bi at 13. And I'm curious, and you grew up in Long Island, on Long Island. Is it
Yes.
in Long Island or on Long Island?
It's on Long Island. That's a dead. It's the three fingers from Inglourious Basterds, if you say in Long Island.
Okay, so on Long Island.
Yes, so I grew up on Long Island.
Great. Thank you for the
In a,
clarification.
yeah, no, I grew up on Long Island. I grew up in a very conservative family, like very much like. I think like one of the biggest things that took me so long to necessarily realize that I was trans is I didn't even necessarily realize what trans was until I was in college, despite having plenty of that stuff. But when I was young, like it was the kind of thing that like as soon as I experienced attraction, I experienced, you know, attraction to people of multiple genders. And it was something that just felt so natural. And I remember initially that there was kind of like this very like I had to keep it secret for a long time. Like when I eventually came out to my family, it wasn't coming out. I was outed to my family.
Oh, jeez.
I do remember though, one of the kind of cute ones though, especially early on, was that I remember I was in high school and I had my sister, who is the sweetest, most supportive person in the world. Absolutely love her to death. She has been so there for me throughout my entire life, like both just as somebody to talk to and as a somebody who's really enjoyed getting to have a sister as I've been transitioning. So I remember she had come to me because I had a point, like, you know, this is back when I feel like every teenager put all of their private life just on Facebook and then didn't add their parents. So I remember I had had on my Facebook profile, like, you know, that I was interested in both men and women, and my sister saw that one day, and I remember she just kind of approached me while she was home for Christmas and said, like, you know, so I kind of noticed this thing and I just wanted to ask about it. And she sees like me initially start getting a little bit panicked and she's like, was that an accident or is that something that you experienced? Because I want you to know it would be okay if it is. And my sister was the first family member that I came out to. And she was super supportive. She had come out to me in return as Pan, which was really a wonderful experience. And it just made me feel very seen at a point when I was so kind of worried about, like, I gotta hide this thing. Like, I don't want people to know about it. It was like one of the first times where somebody I looked up to knew and was very supportive.
That's spectacular. I'm so glad you have that person. And how lovely that it's your sister. That's great. That's really sweet. So I want to go back to something that you said because it resonated with me, and I know that it resonates with a lot of trans people and queer people generally around. So you said you were like exploring your gender in the, in your early 20s, and then you kind of like put it out of mind. And I'm wondering like what sparked that exploration? What did that exploration entail? And then why did you decide to put it out of mind?
Well, it's just kind of this weird thing because it was like I wasn't fully registering it for what it was. Like I was the kind of person, and I know many such cases of like, you know, you have I think especially for like I feel like bi AMAB people have this experience a lot where it's just like, oh, wanting to present feminine and wear women's clothes and stuff like that. That's like typical bi guys stuff, right? And I remember like, you know, I had dresses and skirts in college that I would just kind of wear casually without like really necessarily tying like a gender aspect to it. And you know, I did things like Rocky Horror, things like that. And I felt that it allowed me to feel more comfortable as I was kind of approaching this point when my body was masculinizing and I couldn't quite register why that was making me so uncomfortable yet. Just because, again, it was just a matter of like I didn't have the words to put to it yet. And like it's funny like looking back at some of these things, like, you know, I had one close non-binary friend who like when they came out, I remember I had like this very like thing of just like sitting down and having it fully explained to me, and I'm like, that's so beautiful, and like, oh, I'm sure like so many people must feel this way, and like completely like just right over the head. Like yeah, but it's just like it was one of those things that, and it's for me, it's part of the why I want to be somebody who talks about it a lot, because I wish I had heard people talk about it when I was younger. I would have put some things together a lot sooner. Yeah, so it's yeah, I just think that's very important. Like, I always think about there might be some young kid kind of just figuring something out who sees a visibly trans person out there and just kind of has like a oh, okay. That's a thing that happens sometimes. Some people are just like that.
Yeah, that sounds like a Ring of Keys moment. Are you familiar with Fun Home?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that scene where Small Allison sees a butch lesbian and is like, "Oh, I see myself in you," which is just very special to have that opportunity. So you're out in the Pacific Northwest and you are crushing comedy. What else do you do when you're, not telling jokes or, hanging out in nature?
Well, I'm definitely a big fitness person. I've been like a 5 to 6 day a week gym person for as long as I can remember, and it's just one of those things that helps me relax. I'm a huge gamer. I just got that Tamagotchi life game that everybody's been freaking out about, and it's sucked me in for the last 2 days. I have two lovely cats who I love spoiling and spending plenty of time on that. And then in general, I play a lot of tabletop RPGs. I've been like DMing tabletop games since I was 15 years old, and I've just continued to do that because it's one of my favorite forms of storytelling.
That's awesome. So what what was I gonna say? I just lost my train of thought. For the folks who are listening in Seattle, when do you have another show coming up, or how can folks get involved with the Nest?
So the Nest is the first and last of every month at Common Objects in Belltown. Signups are the Sunday before, and you can find us on social media at Comedy Nest Seattle. For myself, if you want to see me doing some fun stuff, I actually have two big shows that I imagine will be announced by the time this comes out. The first one being I am producing a queer showcase called Get Used to It at the Spanish Ballroom on July 1st for the kickoff for Tacoma Pride. Tacoma, Washington does their Pride in July just because they want to give June to Seattle and let them revel in it so they can have their own special month. It's going to be a really amazing lineup. Joan DeHuff, Genevieve Ferrari, Monica Nevy, as well as Richie Armani, whose show My Straight Friends is currently touring the nation. So be on the lookout for that. And then on July 11th, I am going to be co-emceeing for Tacoma Pride Fest, which is,
Amazing.
yeah, it's a crazy thing that I just found out about last week. It's a huge honor, and I am very nervous about doing a full clean set, but we all got to try some big things. We got to take some big swings, you know?
Absolutely. That's incredible. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I think I have one final question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Bagels or donuts?
Oh, bagels, just because I can get donuts out here. I can't get good bagels out here. I miss bagels so much.
Yeah, it's like a big reason why I don't want to leave the New York area because I miss bagels.
There's one very good donut place in Seattle that I don't want to give away because I don't want it to get more crowded. But I knew that it was the right bagel place because the first time I went there were three people outside complaining about Kathy Hochul. And I'm like, all right, that must be the real place then.
That's so funny. That's great. Well, this has been really lovely, Billy. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for coming out.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you for coming.